Morning. God, you're just getting started. Spirit of God, do it in us. We're all he's got in this earth. And he's done all the work. God's just waiting for us to acknowledge his purpose by his word and act out in faith. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, says this, that for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm Pastor Doug Moore. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Faith Fellowship, and today we're going to continue our talking about unlock the power of God that's in us. How do we do that? I'm going to talk to you about something that will hopefully shift how you see your life. You're not here by accident. You're here by assignment. And too many people, well, believers, especially Christ followers, lives kind of stuck in between what they could be, which is potential, and what they're actually doing, which is purpose. But the gap is not because God forgot something. It's because we misunderstand something. And according to Ephesians 2:10, you are his workmanship. You are created in Christ. Now that word Christ, that is a Greek word. And that word means, it wasn't Mary and Joseph's last name. Okay, Jesus wasn't born to Mary and Joseph Christ. That word Christ is a title. It's an identity. That word Christ in the Greek means that he is the Messiah in the Hebrew. In the Greek, it means that he is the anointed one and his anointing. That's what it means. If you wanted to say the anointed one and his anointing, you'd say Christ. And so when they would see Jesus, they'd hear about Jesus. The apostles and disciples would talk about Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The anointed one and his anointing in you, which is the hope of glory. So according to Ephesians 2:10, you are his workmanship. You are created in the anointed one and his anointing. You are designed for good works, and those works are already prepared. Your purpose, our purpose, is not ahead of us. It's already been written into us. You are God's workmanship. There has to be identity before activity. We have to know the power of God that's in us as Christ's followers. Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship. That's what it says in what we just read in Ephesians 2:10. That word workmanship means we are a masterpiece. We are custom designed, something intentionally created. You're not random. We're not home. We're not just, you know, here by accident. We are handmade by God. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 139, verse 14, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That means God did not mass produce us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made specifically for a purpose. There are a lot of people that say, well, you know, I kind of have an old soul. I should have been born in the 60s. I'm free-spirited. I'm kind of like, hippified. And it's like, I should have been born then, and I just have that type of an attitude. And my response is, no, you were born specifically for such a time as this. You are here for a reason. If God wanted you born back then, he would have done that. He's able. But you are here for a specific purpose and a specific reason. God has a plan. And he's left it up to us to bring about that plan in the earth. He carefully designed you. And when you came into Christ, when you came into full knowledge of who he is, when you were born again, when you became a Christ follower, when you determined to do that, something even deeper happened. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone is in the anointed one with his anointing, you are a new creation. You are created brand new. You are not repaired. You are created brand new. Galatians 2:20 even takes it further. It says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. The anointed one and his anointing is in me. When you start seeing what the word actually says and not just go by what we were, you know, taught 50 years ago in Sunday school, and understand what the word is saying to you now, you understand that the power of God that is in you the moment you became born again is something not to be trifled with by the enemy. I'm telling you, when we understand our identity, when we unlock that power of God that's in us, there is nothing that can stop what God wants to have done in this earth. Nothing. You're the most powerful weapon God has. All you have to do is know who you are in him and who he is in you. So your identity is no longer based on you or me. It's based on Christ in us. So I want to talk to you today really quick about what dead works are versus good works. So I never heard of dead works. Well, they're out there. And then there are good works, what the word talks about. Many people try to prove their worth through performance, through success, through approval, but that leads to what I call dead works. Dead works means trying to earn what God already gave to you and I by grace. And if we're trying to earn something that God has already given to us, we're on a treadmill in our spiritual walk. We're going nowhere. We're trying to get what we've already been given, and we've been given it in our spirit. Man, we just don't know how to unlock it. And that's why we have to get our mind set on what the Word says we are and what the Word says we can do, but more importantly, what the Word says God is and who he is and what he can do through us. You'll chase purpose for validation. I've been there, done that. Instead of walking in purpose from revelation, you'll chase validation. You don't work for God's approval. You work from God's approval. God's approved of you. The moment you became a believer in him, he approved. He approved even before that fact. He has plans to prosper you. He has plans for your future. He has plans for you that we don't know until we allow him to speak to us by his Spirit through the Word and by directly by his Spirit in us. Your potential is placed in Christ. You already have everything you need. We have everything we need in Christ. Our potential is placed there in Christ, in the Anointed One, in his anointing in us. Ephesians 2:10 also then continues, created in Christ Jesus. We are created in Christ Jesus. This is where our potential comes from. Not from our background, but our position in Christ. Our position in Jesus. Where he has brought us from and to. 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 3 says this, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not some things. All things. All things. Colossians 2:10 declares, you are complete in him. You're not missing anything necessary for your assignment. You are complete in him. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do. That means God is working in you the desire and the ability to get done what he's called you to do. He's not leaving it up to us. He's given to us the ability to change the world by his Spirit working through us when we allow him to do so. When we take ourselves out of the equation and allow him to work through us. Your potential is not something you chase. It's something you discover. It's something you wake up with revelation knowledge of. God already placed in you gifts and grace divine capacity, the ability to do all things in the spirit realm. He's just that good. If you think about an apple seed, and it's, you know, pretty tiny. Not as tiny as a mustard seed, but it's pretty tiny. And you think about an apple seed, do you know that inside that apple seed is the tree? Inside that apple, or inside that apple seed is the fruit. And inside that little seed is the future of that seed. But all I see is just this brown little seed that looks kind of dead. But when it's planted, it develops. It has to be developed. Everything that tree, that apple tree becomes, starts with that one little seed. In the same way, our purpose is already in us, but it's got to be cultivated. And if we don't understand that, you'll live like you're lacking. We'll live like we're behind. We'll live like we're unqualified. And it'll be a miserable existence. And that's why some Christians just don't have that joy, unspeakable and full of glory, that just comes out, because we don't know how good God is in us already. We're still waiting for Him to do something. We have to be cultivated. The truth is, you're not under-equipped. We're not under-equipped. We're just under-aware of who we are in Him. That's all. Our purpose is already prepared for us. We need to walk out in it. Walk it out. Do what God has already called us to do and given us the ability to do. In the verse we started with today in Ephesians 2:10, it finishes this way. It says, For good works which God prepared beforehand. Good works. That means your life is not random. He prepared it beforehand. God already planned your assignment. We just have to accept it. It doesn't force things on us. It doesn't tell us we have to do it. It doesn't treat us like robots. We have to make a choice. Jesus on the cross provided salvation for the whole world. Amen. But we have to choose to accept it. And if we don't accept it, while we are here on this terra firma, while we still are above room temperature, then we have no more chance after that. That's it. But we have to make that choice. He chose us. We have to accept the gift. I can have Christmas presents for my grandkids around the tree and just say, you know, Christmas presents are there, and they don't come forward for them. Well, the next day I'll be richer, but if they don't come forward for it, they don't get the gift. They have to take it, receive it. You have to believe to receive. That's how we receive from God. It's a supernatural act that we participate in, is that He's provided for us peace, joy, power, authority, goodness, mercy. And again, back to peace of mind that passes all understanding. We just have to accept it, receive it, eternal life, accept it. He has it. He provided it. We have to reach out and receive. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you, I ordained you. I called you. Your purpose existed before you did. Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it shows the progression. It says that whom He predestined, which that simply means, let's not get religious about it, predestined means God had a plan, has a plan, will always have a plan for you if you decide to follow it. He also called. God already mapped out your journey, but you have to take the directions. GPS tells you where to go. If you decide not to go on GPS, well, have fun detouring everywhere in Godfrey. But if you take the correct map and the GPS directions that have been placed before you, you hear, receive, look at, and obey, you'll get to your destination maybe a whole lot quicker. We have to receive the directions. The directions are there. We have to tap into it. There is a, in Hebrews 12:1 says this, let us run with endurance the race set before us. There's a specific race designed for you. Remember, back in Ephesians 2:10, it also says, for we are his workmanship. He created us. Created in Christ Jesus for the good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, is what it says there in Ephesians. Notice the phrase, we should walk in them. We should walk in them. Not strive, not beg, not be forced to, but walk in them. Choose to walk in them. What walking looks like, you walk in purpose by this. In Romans 12:2, by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how you walk in the goodness of God. Having your mind focused on the Word and being flourished by the Spirit. Walking according to who the Word says you are. Flowing and following the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says this. If we live in the Spirit, let us also then walk like it. Walk in it. There was a guy in California named Bob. Can you believe it? And Bob wrote, this is a true story. Bob wrote music behind the scenes for people like the Beach Boys, the Everly Brothers. Really successful as a really young guy. He was like 23, 24-year-old guy. Really successful, lived literally the high life. This was back in the late 60s, early 70s. And Bob was successful on every front. He had money, he had cars, he had the women he wanted, he had all this going for him, but yet he talks about how he was just unhappy. There was a hole that LSD could not fill. There was something that cocaine could not take the place of. There was something missing in his life. And he was never raised in church. He went to Catholic church once in a while when he was a kid, but never had anything to do with God, didn't really think he needed it. But his depression and his discouragement over nothing, over things that he said, I had everything I needed, but I wasn't happy. People were wondering, why aren't you happy? He said, something was missing. He said, I hung out with people who weren't happy, and things were missing. And he said, it got to a point where everything I tried to do made me physically sick. I tried to fill a mental hole. I tried to fill a philosophical hole with things. I tried Buddhism. I tried, transcendental meditation. I tried every drug imaginable at that time. And he said, nothing helped. It made me even physically weaker. And he said, it burned out brain cells. And he said, I was a mess. And he said, I got to a point where he said, I went to a hotel in East L.A. He said, I took my gun, and he said, I walked into the room, I turned on the television, he said, I watched whatever was on TV, Dragnet or something, and he said, I loaded the gun, the revolver, and he said, I just started playing roulette. I was done. And he said, and every time he pulled the trigger, nothing happened. So he put two bullets in there. And he said it would just go from an empty chamber to another. He said, I laid the gun down, and he said he went to open the drawer next to his bed to just put the gun away until he got drunk enough to do it again, he said. He said, and there was a Gideon Bible in there. And he said, he picked up the Gideon Bible. I love the Gideons, man. Gideon's rock. And he picked up this Gideon Bible, and he turned to the New Testament. He said, really by accident, I didn't know the difference between old and new. Turned to the New Testament, started looking through it, and started reading about things that he didn't really know much about, didn't hear much about in Catholic Church that he went to when he was a kid. And he said, He said he started reading these things about Jesus. He heard about Jesus, obviously. He was hanging on the cross there in every church service he went to. But that's all he knew about him. Then he started reading about what he did. The things that he experienced. He said, I don't know what, I can't explain what happened. He said, but he said, I started believing just reading that. And he said, I read him over and over again all night. He said it was a Saturday night. Sunday morning came. He said, I'm on the edge of my bed still reading over and over again what Jesus did. He said, I got inspiration. He said, I didn't know. He said, I feel like weights had been lifted off. He said, I felt like I got to go to church. Here's a guy that's got tons of LSD on him. I bet that was a great church service for him. But he said, I'm going to church. And he walked out of the hotel room and he went to the nearest church. And he went to a church, it was the Presbyterian Church there in East LA. And he said, I went in and they were just starting service. And I sat in the back. He said, and I sat there and he said, and they did their service, man. He said, you know, they had the singing in the book. And they had the responsive reading, he said, and then they, you know, they prayed, and then the guy got up and talked for about an hour, he said, and then he stopped, and then they prayed again, and then they sang again, and then he said, I'm standing there, you know, and he said, and then everybody left. He said, I'm watching everybody leave. He said, I'm a dude that's high. Haven't had a shower in 3 or 4 days. I look like some sort of a nut. He said, but I'm standing back there, and I'm still waiting. The church is empty. The only person left in there is a guy, is the pastor, is the preacher guy. And he came back up to me. I'm the only one in there, he said. And he walked up to me. He said, hey, what's your name? He said, my name is Bob. He said, Bob, what are you still doing here? Our service is over? He said, well, all I want to know, man, is when do you do the stuff? And the pastor's like, dude, you're full of stuff right now. And he goes, no, I mean, when do you do the stuff? The stuff, man, I came here to see the stuff. And he said, what stuff are you talking about? The stuff. The stuff, Jesus, you know, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. When do you do the stuff? And the pastor just gave that, well, those things just went away with the last apostle or whatever he said. And Bob was just like, I didn't believe it. Because he started thinking logically. This book has been around for a long time. And it says he did these things. And I remember my grandparents talking about him doing these things. And I thought he was still able to do these things. And I really do believe he is still able to do these things. Guys, it's time for the body of Christ to do the stuff. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The stuff. The world is looking for the stuff. They're looking for things that actually happen in the power of God, in the anointed one, in his anointing. Not your power. You and I can't do a thing. We're powerless without him. He is the author and finisher of our faith. You want to Google who Bob is? Look up the Vineyard Church and the Vineyard Movement. Bob started the Vineyard Movement back in the 70s. And it produced something in the 70s that people with long hair did the stuff. It's the stuff that Jesus died for us to do. It's the power and the anointing he's given us the ability to do. Being faithful daily, Luke 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in a little is faithful also in much. Yeah, but I don't know. Raising the dead, casting out devils, preacher, who are you talking to? Just being Jesus to somebody doesn't mean you have to do some amazing out of the world exploits. It just means an encouraging word. You're going to make it. It's going to be all right. I have a future daughter-in-law that the whole house could be on fire around her, and she'll say, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And that's the attitude of a Christian, no matter what we see, because we know the Word says what we see with our natural eyes is it's temporal, subject to change. And no matter what you're facing, whether it's something physical, whether it's something emotional, whether it's somebody trying to keep you from living in a house, understand God's plan is better and bigger than what you think you can accomplish, because God can accomplish it through you. So dead works versus good works. Dead works says, God, I'll do this so you'll bless me. I'll do it so that I can get something from you. That's dead works. Good works says, God has already blessed me. Now I walk in what he has provided and what he prepared. Good works are working out what God has already provided for us. Purpose is not a destination. It's a daily walk. If you want to know God's purpose in your life, it's a daily walk of fellowshipping with him, of reading his word, of praying, of receiving from him, of praise and worship. So let's bring it all together here. You are his workmanship. That's your identity. You are created in Christ, the anointed one in his anointing. That's your potential. And you are called to good works. You are called to good works. That is our purpose. So stop asking, God, what's my purpose? Start declaring, God, show me how to walk in what you've already prepared for me. Show me how to walk in what you've already given me. Show me what to walk in what you've already prepared. That's what we ask. Some of us have been striving, comparing, doubting our value. Man, have I been there. But God is saying today, you are my masterpiece. Now walk like it. Act like it. Talk like it. God is good through you. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, you are so good. And we're so grateful today for your word. You've given to us everything we could ever need or desire. You have opened up to us the identity that we need to understand, and that is Christ in us, that hope of glory, that power, the authority, the anointing, the goodness of God. We're thankful. And the anointing is simply the good works that we do that your word tells us we can do as believers, as Christ's followers. You're so good. And we take that next step to say, okay, being a Christ follower is great, but just like the song said, man, there's got to be something more. There is. And that is the Holy Spirit in us, giving to us revelation, knowledge, and acting on the word and being in this earth, Father, who you've called us to be and given us the power to be. That people see you, Jesus, not us. That it's your voice they hear when we speak, not ours. And they are changed by your Spirit. That way you get all the credit and we get none. That people are drawn to you because of your love. The Word says the goodness of God causes men and women to repent. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. And thank you for doing everything for us that we need. We now concentrate in that, walk in that, and pray and thank you for revelation of that. We are warriors in this world. You have given to us the ability to conquer all things that the enemy puts before us. We are roaring like lions because you've given to us that ability to win. Doing all things in Christ and being more than a conqueror in you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship.